When you're ready.
Okay. I basically wanted to comment on the national programming, that the new programming that we're doing this time around, Informed Dissent, is very, very different than the old school of national programming where, you know, national stars are picked and then that programming is sort of imposed on each station. And what I like about the new program is that it seems to be organizing itself from the ground up in the sense that it's open to producers of all the stations as well as to many of the affiliates. And they've had these national phone calls in which producers get on and they pitch their stories. They pitch their stories and it all seems to come together into this, what I think is the direction that national programming should originate in the sense that it gives producers on the ground level an opportunity to bring their work to the national audience. And I wanted to just support that. I think it's a very good program. The other thing that's just a little bit troubling for me is the way things are sourced and funded around the network in the sense that money is given to free speech. It's a good program, and money is given to these national programs, but there isn't any funding for infrastructure at the actual stations. So, for instance, free speech, Leon Caldwell was trained in our news department. She came in with no skills, was trained, and ended up doing free speech. Why? Because they can pay her and we can't. So I think that as we go forward and we're looking at national programming and we're looking at funding all these other media sources, that we have to also think about the infrastructure of each station and that we also need to have funding that allows us to have reporters and develop the skills of the reporters and the producers who are there at the stations. So I just wanted that to be considered as we move forward. And also, going back a little bit to the BAI situation, there's been a lot of talk about BAI being in financial trouble. But the way I remember it, there was money there following the coup, and that money, I don't know what happened to those savings. It seems to have disappeared, as well as when Valerie left as our station manager, we had extra money there. There was a lot of money there. And then in the next period we had another interim general manager, that money was spent. And I just wanted to point out that Indra did, in fact, bring us back into balance. Thanks.
Thank you. The next person is Mara Rivera. Are you guys having trouble when we call time, or is it more of a... I mean, can you guys not hear us? It's almost inaudible.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll be louder next time.
I can be loud.
It's the mic. They can't hear you even when you shout. They only hear it if you say it into the mic. And I'll give a sign if you check from time to time that it helped. Thank you. Mara?
Okay. Speaking as a KPFA listener, it's not easy for a listener to stay informed about station governance. Our station and network are mandated to have the listeners be a major part of the station governance. Since this is community radio, we pay for it. And it's essential for keeping the programming responsive to community needs and resistant to take over by groups not in accord with our mission statement. But there are major obstacles to listener participation. To elect our listener reps, we need to know what the issues are and which candidates support our interests. The information on our airwaves is confined to a once-a-month LSB program at midday. Monthly LSB meetings are webcast, but not everyone can listen or attend. Not many want to attend because they're not up on the issues. Also, are repelled by the hostilities between the pro- and anti-democracy forces, which polarize the meetings as the anti-democratic staff-led faction try to obstruct meaningful governance by the LSB and the Program Council. Prior agendas are hard to get. Minutes are archived. Webcasts are usually several months in arrears. Emails to the LSB are answered only sporadically. Listeners depend on staff whose voices they know to guide their choices, meaning they are likely to vote against their own interests. That's why we need to hear from LSB candidates on the air, ideally in debates and forums.
30 seconds.
I'm very concerned that the KPFA election supervisors have said that there is little or no airtime in October for candidates' voices because staff won't give up fundraising time for this. I urge the PNB reps to pass the motion to mandate time for candidates' forums and statements prior to the election and prior to the receipt of ballots by listeners. Do not accept any amendments which would weaken this policy. We need listeners to have confidence that they know how to vote.
Time.
Without an engaged, informed listenership, we risk not meeting the 10% quorum for the listeners' vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You. Maxine? Maxine? Sure, sure, no problem. Steve, we can't wait for you.
With regard to the future of Pacifica and its distribution model, I heard a lot of really good analyses here, but nobody seized on the easy solution, which is really pretty obvious. Nathan is correct. Nobody likes to pay or be charged for content, and Lonnie was right. We need original content, and Pete Caracas is right. We absolutely have to embrace a new technology. Dave and Lydia and Robbie are right. We need very wide distribution, hopefully free. But the fact is, all of those things together are not going to help Pacifica because they do not speak to how to get an audience or change your audience from listeners to supporters. And that's something that Pacifica has not been good at and still does not want to address. One way to do, there are two areas in which you can do that. One, on the internet, instead of charging, as some people, when they try to download content, you pop up something that says, look, we're happy to give you this free, to share with your friends. We are a listener-supported organization, however, and we ask only that you give us your contact information so that every once in a while we can send you an email or a letter trying to persuade you to donate something for our support so that we can continue to survive and provide this service. People at Pacifica have always been willing to donate for something they like if they're not demanded but are asked, and we can continue to do that. The second area, and you should do that starting right now, the second area is in your current listenership. Lydia made the point that we only have that out of 10 listeners, only one actually support the station. Do you know why that is?
30 seconds.
It's because you don't know who these listeners are. And once you know who they are, you can start promoting them on a regular basis and get 3% of them every time you contact them. And in a year, you can get 9 out of 10 of them instead of 1 out of 10 and convert them from listeners to supporters. I know how to do this. I've been trying to do it at WBAI for 4 years. But nobody wants to try because it changes the way they do their regular outreach and support, and nobody likes to change.
Time.
I hope I can do this in the future.
Thank you, Steve. Richard Phelps.
And Stan is next.
Oh. Well, in the United States Incorporated, we are losing our rights, and I'm glad we've got the habeas corpus problem, 9/11 cover-up, and they've been stealing our elections in Ohio and Florida, and I'm really glad that people here have said they want to do something about the habeas corpus situation, and I'm kind of wondering if we could get involved in some election reform. You know, there's a lot of things that need to happen in this country. A lot of countries around the world have a national holiday on Election Day so that working people can go. A lot of places have 2 or 3 days when you can vote. Not here. We don't make it easy. So is there anybody here that's against that kind of stuff? Well, given that, I would ask you all again to rethink the substitute motion you voted on last week, because realistically that was tokenism for an inclusive democratic process here. It's always easy to say, yeah, let's do it out there, but when your own personal interests and politics, you're an incumbent, you don't need this, you don't want this, or whatever, you want to do it for what is going to benefit your little group or your little thing. But the one thing we need to have is an open, inclusive democratic process. The motion you passed says one forum before October 31st. Let's get the date straight, folks. The ballots are going out first class this time on October 16th. That means people will have them by the 17th or 18th. No third class this time. What does that mean? Well, if you have a forum on the 28th most everybody's going to have voted by then. What the hell good is it going to do? And with the 10 cart plays between in the 50 days you've allotted,
30 seconds,
with no specific statement there, what you've got is they could all be done after everybody's voted. I mean, the original motion that I put together needed some change, and there's a reformed one, you know, going to be pushed, I think, tomorrow. But we need some real exposure of the election if you want, you know, to have a quorum. I mean, quorum equals exposure. It's just that simple, folks. People need to know about it, and they need to know what they're doing, and they're not going to find out if it's not on the radio.
Time.
Can somebody give me a minute or two?
I'll see my time.
Okay, thank you. Listen, the other thing that it's hard to say this because it bothers me because I care so much about Pacifica, but sometimes the hypocrisy that I hear and see here really gets to me. About 3 or 4 webcast meetings ago, there was a motion to reinstate Paul DiRienzo. You know, I don't condone what he did, just like I wouldn't condone somebody who broke into your car. But I wouldn't sentence that guy that broke into your car to 20 years, and I wouldn't de facto expel Paul DiRienzo, which you have done. His term is up now. He was sentenced to 6 months, and then it's just been carried on and carried on and carried on. How in the hell can we sit here and talk about going after the U.S. government's denial of habeas corpus and all those other rights when we don't have due process in our own backyard? What is wrong with this place? I'm serious. You know, you vote against directors' inspections, and then you say the government's hiding things? Come on, folks. We have to practice what we want society to be. And if we don't, we ought to go home.
Stan, you still have a minute of your time left.
I really can't say much in a minute. Who's next?
Bob?
Bob can have my extra minute. How's that?
Okay. But suppose he was only ready to talk for 2 minutes.
He'll figure out a way.
Talk slowly.
Hi, I'm Bob English. I only want to talk for, if I've got an extra minute, I'd like to save it for later after the KPFA station report. And right now, I have a lot of general things to say about Pacifica and KPFA, but right now I want to deal with the issue of the elections. There's a lot of concern amongst listeners that about having democratic elections at our station. After all, that's one of the main things that we fought for from the 1990s. And resulted in this indirectly elected board. There's a lot of concern about suppression and manipulation of our station board elections. I understand that there's, for one thing, there's a lack of cooperation with the National Election Supervisor on many levels by station management. For instance, providing candidate lists, getting the information up on the website, and several other things. We've heard that there's manipulation of the staff lists going on. We've heard a lot about that at KPFA, about the unpaid staff list. But the other problem that I want to address is the sort of the separation of election information on the air during fund drives. There's, for instance, at KPFA, there's an attempt to eliminate on-air forums and candidate carts during the primary period of the election campaign. And this makes no sense to me because what we should be doing is tying the membership voting rights with membership in KPFA donations to the station. These two things fit together. They don't have to be separated. It's very easy to connect that. So my concern is that I've understood that they're trying. You've had a strong election committee resolution that was proposed. It's been watered down, and I'm asking you to consider a stronger consider an amended resolution that I hope will be presented as part of the election report. And if I can save the rest of my time for later, I'd like to do that. Is that permissible?
Yeah, how much time did you have left?
45 seconds.
Plus a minute of stands. Yes, Don?
No, 45 seconds.
For him that we have passed
amended. No, because that's a whole gamish.
Did we never respond?
Okay. We did pass one motion, but I think he's talking about the motion that failed.
We've mandated that every station will run cards. We should know that.
Every station has to run carts of each candidate at least 10 times in at least one forum. I think he's referring to the other motion having to do with cooperation. Bob, are you?
No, I've understood that there's an amended resolution was before you, whether it was an open session or executive session, but a substitute motion was offered that is much weaker and only provides for a minimal number of carts and on-air events. And this is just the listeners need to hear about the election. They need to be introduced to the candidates. You need a stronger resolution. And the problems with actually implementing democracy at KPFA and the other stations that I've seen are one of the reasons that I've decided I just have to run for the board myself. Okay.
Oh boy, good luck with it, man. Yeah. And I do not mean good luck with winning. I mean good luck with doing something. Sorry, it just came out. Linda Hewitt. Linda would like to wait. Ivan, you want to wait or you want to do it now? I did not mean that sarcastically.
Sorry. Now that I have your attention, I am a very, very offended, very disappointed, unhappy, and mad listener by not letting us listeners know when and where this meeting was in time to change our reservations from another place, to not put it up at the website in a decent amount of time, like say a week or so ahead, maybe even two, is very, very offensive, and I feel that you do not care about me as a listener. Why the blazes are you having a public meeting? It's to have maximum participation of the listeners in that area. You are holding a meeting where you cannot even turn on the radio and hear KPFA. This is unacceptable. I'm still talking.
And if board members would
please do something about it so it will never happen again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ivan. Okay, it's 6:30 now. Dinner is time certain at 7. We have an hour for KPFA, so we're going to have to split it into two halves. Pardon me? We will finish with the people who didn't want to comment before.
I do. I'm sorry. I didn't see a sign-up sheet.
Go wild.
Sorry about that, Dave. I'm Brian Edwards Tiekert. I work in the news department here at KPFA and serve on the local station board as a staff representative and the board's treasurer. I just wanted to talk real briefly to you all about the network's finances, which we discuss a lot on the National Finance Committee. And I hope it's been conveyed to you, I haven't been around here all weekend, that the network is getting into a tighter and tighter financial situation. Okay? Revenues are staying pretty flat. Expenses are going up. Doesn't mean there's any mismanagement. Certain things go up each year at a fairly predictable rate. Cost of health benefits goes up at 4 times the rate of inflation. But what this means is that this board has to get much tighter about prioritizing its expenses. What do I mean by that? When you do strategic planning, which Pacifica needs to do as a body, you have to decide what project is most important to you and pour your resources into it to make that work, instead of launching a bunch of half-baked, half-funded projects that aren't given the right chance to succeed. There needs to be a better consolidation of resources at Pacifica National. I work in news. Free Speech Radio News, I have great friends working there. They're operating on 1/3 the budget that Pacifica National News had 6 years ago. They don't have sick days, they don't have vacation benefits, they don't have health benefits, and they have tremendous burnout and staff turnover as a result. You've heard that we have a Washington bureau that is also a headline service, both of which are one person. You can't reasonably expect that to succeed at that level. We have a national Spanish language newscast that is underfunded and does not have a plan for doing a full-on rollout that will help Pacifica reach out into new communities. Just putting it on stations where people aren't accustomed to tuning into because it hasn't had programming that speaks to their needs before isn't enough. I would urge you in the coming year to be extremely careful wary of creating any board mandates for new spending without extensive review and planning on the staff level. If you have an idea you want to run with, ask your staff to develop a detailed implementation plan before you decide to go forward with it, and look at creative ways to consolidate what you already have so that there's synergy between your projects instead of a lot of different projects that were very bright ideas not having enough resources to make it on their own. Thank you.
Okay, and with that, we're going to go to the first half of the KPFA report. Lemlin, did you want to do it now, William? It's up to you. Pick.
My name's William, and I just wanted to give, thank you, a shout-out to the youngest person on the board, because we have the same birthday. His name's Nathan. Welcome to the board. I guess this is his first meeting. And you get to carry that torch that I carried and that Samuel Kateka carried as the youngest people to serve on this national board. With that in mind, being a national board of this organization, it's important that we have more participation. And I understand the logistics around booking this hotel late, but... And even though it is BART accessible, it's just, when we're looking at, if we could just try to plan things out, because it's just, it's far from a lot of the communities that we'd like to reach. There are a lot of people in this city that we don't reach and that we should reach, but there are also a lot of people that we can tackle. And I think we should move away from the hotel format and look at how we can take over community centers and Unitarian churches. They always like to give up space. As far as agendas, there are no agendas here. So if you are here from the public, I have to steal one from Bob Leather. Thank you. But there's no information if you are here to participate for the people that did come the 40 miles or 20 miles or so from where our standards listening area is to find out what's going on. Why can't these meetings be video conferenced? I saw a proposal to eliminate one of them, but why can't we eliminate two or maybe even three? A lot of the money that we spend on these meetings is the same, you know, underhead or overhead that we have to spend on the programming that we try to create and the news, and et cetera. I'm running out of time. We need to look at how we can share more information because, thank you, sharing information because we all are recreating the wheel around initiatives like our web presence. I mean, I've heard the archives mentioned. They were, or the audio storage mentioned on our different websites. We all rolled out with our quote-unquote archives at different times, and we all have different types of archives. And it would be great if you could log onto a website and there was some type of standardization so you knew where you were going, because a lot of the resources that we have are similar. We need to look at promotion of our stations. I think that a lot of our we talk about democracy, but we don't talk about the communities that we're not reaching. We're not talking about the lack of diversity in this room. And making sure that we look at technology, and like a lot of stations are rolling out high-definition radio, and we're not even looking at that. And it's in our budget. Oh, I hope it's in all five stations' budgets.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go to KPFA or back to the Frog Pond. Do you guys know that joke? I'm going to Connemara or back to the Frog Pond? All right, well, anyhow, it's a long joke. I don't have time for it. So Lem Lem is the station manager, and she's going to give a presentation, and then we'll have some discussion. And then, Richard, did you want to give the LSB report before the lunch, the dinner break, or after? After dinner? Okay. Go ahead, Lem Lem.
If we're going to do a presentation, if I'm going to present for about 10-15 minutes, and then we're going to go to Q&A, maybe we should do Mr. Phelps. Then I can do that presentation, then we can come back for Q&A.
Why don't you start, and then if you start now and we go about 15 minutes, we'll have 10 minutes for some discussion, and then
Go to dinner. I'm Lem Lem Rijo. I'm the interim general manager at KPFA. I have been the development director at the station since May of 2004. It's good to meet everybody. Some of you that I'm just meeting this time around, some of you I had met in LA in March. It's good to see everyone. I want to start by thanking the KPFA management team, Lois Withers, the business manager, who's sitting right there behind Brian, and Michael Yoshida, chief engineer, and operations director is somewhere behind there in a nice blue shirt. Michael Yoshida, please. Maybe he stepped away. Michael is a powerhouse that not many people know about. So I invited him to come so that everybody knows that we are able to do what we do because of Michael, because of the engineers. We also have KPFA LSB chair, Mr. Phelps, Brian Edwards Tickert, William Walker, Stan Woods, Chandra. It's good to see everybody here. Thank you for coming. Vinny, nice to see you guys. I want to thank Greg and Lonnie for their leadership and support that they've provided me for the past 5-6 months of my tenure as an IGM, and the national office staff that is also very supportive. I want to thank the KPFA LSB for their positive contributions. Even though I have had some challenges with a few members as a body, they have been extremely supportive, and I want to thank them for that. I want to thank the personnel committee for providing us with the training that we just participated in last week. It was very useful, and thank you so much. So I just want to give a brief summary of things that have happened in this fiscal that's just ending. And then I want to make some time for Michael Yoshida to give an update on some technological projects. So some of the work that we have in progress that helps us fulfill our mission and goals. Some of them are a group of KPFA volunteers led by Chandra Hotman, KPFA LSB member, put together an access report for the station. And this report will be incorporated in the report of the foundation's ADA compliance consultant, Francie Moeller. I want to thank this group of volunteers for their hard work to put together the report. It's very comprehensive. It's very well thought out. And I want to thank Chandra for her leadership in that process. In an effort to expand listenership and attract young listeners, we have several objectives going on, including expanding and developing our website, off-air membership drives and campaigns, and collaborations with local universities, nonprofit organizations, and community organizations on various projects and events. I want to thank all the staff and the volunteers working on these projects. Everyone who does these extra projects does it for the love of it. I mean, almost everyone who works at KPFA in Pacifica does it for the love of it. So it's important that we appreciate each other and each other's contributions. In collaboration with KPFA's Program Council, we dedicated a weekly, an hour and a half, Saturdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., as well as Saturdays 6:30 to 7 p.m. to broadcast informed dissent. The program is also on our website in its entirety, and it's being promoted on the web and on the air. The reason we decided to have it, to have an hour in the morning, is it comes on right after a popular public affairs program called Saturday Morning Talkies with a longtime host. So we put the program right after that to what is that word? To carry her audience, to carry the audience, and then also to promote, to try to get an audience for the evening. We're playing a piece in the evening, trying to also promote it in the morning for the evening. We'd like to launch Spanish language news on our website while we wait for a grid assessment process to be completed. That process has already started, and we feel it will be more effective to launch the program on our air after the assessment has been completed, so that we place it in an appropriate slot. Currently, Spanish language blocks are on Saturdays, early to late evening. Friday, flashpoints in Espanol starts at about 5:45 to about 6 p.m., to 6 p.m., and then in the evenings, 8 to 10, we have a La Onda Bajita, a Spanish language bilingual program. On Tuesdays, 7 to 10, is a Spanish a program focused on Spanish-speaking communities. And then we have some half-hour and hour programs scattered throughout the grid. and we feel like it. We feel like we shouldn't just place the program someplace where it's in you know, early morning or late evening where nobody will listen to it, and we would rather place it within a block that will be developed. There are also some financial issues with the Spanish language in Wisconsin that have yet to be vetted out with the national office, and we hope to complete that process as well. Some programming accomplishments we've had in the recent past have been in collaboration with FSRN, we did hourly updates of the May 1st mobilization for immigrant and human rights that received a lot of good positive feedback. I want to say also that the pieces of informed dissent that we've broadcast so far have received a lot of positive feedback from listeners. We've done coverage of rallies, anti-war rallies, executions, as well as an extended coverage, I think amounting to about 15 to 17 hours of the Middle East crisis in the 2.5 weeks that it was happening. I will do an overall summary of mainly our fiscal health and future, and then I'll pass it on to Michael. And I'm just kind of going to go through what I passed out with the details of our financial standing. We have noticed that reports have been showing that listenership for commercial radio, non-commercial radio, and specifically for KPFA have been declining. This is a serious concern. We don't want to go too far on this trend and lose a huge chunk of our listenership. I think we may have already reached that point. And in order to regain some of the listeners that we've lost, also expand to new listeners that we've never had, we need to develop some quick plans, short-term plans, as well as long-term plans. In terms of funding and donorship, the loss of listenership has also resulted in some loss of on-air revenue. And to accommodate this specific trend, but also because we were too heavily dependent on on-air revenue, we're expanding our off-air fundraising activities and campaigns. In 2006, there is a table on page 2. I'm sorry, I didn't number the pages. We raised about 24% of our revenue from off-air campaigns, including major giving programs, direct mail appeals, extended EFT, which is electronic funds transfer, people who sustain us by making monthly contributions, mail renewal campaigns, web fundraising, card donations program events, and non-CHG grants. Given what has been happening recently, in the coming 2 years, we need to increase that 24% to about 30%. And the reason is we don't want to be on the air fundraising too long because people don't really like that. They're okay with us fundraising on the air I think they can tolerate between 10 and 14 days, and anything more just creates fatigue for staff as well as for listeners and for volunteers. We have successfully increased our revenue from major giving programs by about 60 to 70 people and by about $200,000. In 2006, we also received, we were included in 4 individuals' bequests, and 2 individuals have upgraded the percentage that they'd allocated to benefit KPFA. As you know, we've also received notice of 2 large trust disbursements. One for general operations and another restricted programming endowment. And in 2007, we will develop an investment strategy as well as we will begin planning an endowment campaign to leveraging these 2 large gifts. In the long run, I believe this course of action will be very beneficial in securing the station's financial future as well as the foundation's. On-air drives in 2006 have been successful for the most part in meeting their financial goals, but the increase in the number of fund drive days has probably impacted us negatively. And then I have provided the breakdown of on-air revenue. And the fall drive of fall of 2005 has been fulfilled at about 88%. The winter drive has been fulfilled at about 85.8%, and spring at 83%, and summer at 81.4%. This is a good sign. We're reaching the end of our fiscal year, and we're financially sound. Our savings balance remains the same at about $700,000. Our revenue sources have been under projection slightly, but revenue overall has been on target. However, we're forecasting to end the year with a very small net surplus due to large legal expenditure. Planning ahead for the coming 3 years, we're looking at all possible expense reductions while developing strategies to expand our listenership and expand our revenue sources. At the end of fiscal 06, listener support is showing a slight downward trend for the year, and given this decline of on-air revenue and the reduction in CSG funds, of on-air revenue projections in FY07 budget have been lowered. And the reason is, one, we want to increase revenue from off-air sources, mainly major gifts, and two, to decrease the number of days we're fundraising on there. The other serious concern is CPB funds that seem to be threatened for cuts and maybe even elimination, and that's a huge percentage of our revenue. We need to develop a plan B in case that revenue stream starts to dwindle. Given that our listenership is aging and declining, we need to take some steps in the coming 6 months to draft development and programming initiatives to attract new listeners, cultivate our loyal donors, to gift us their assets, and expand our programming impact. Finally, we have almost completed our union contract negotiations. We've received permission to expand our listening reach, and have completed our budget drafting process for 2007. In October, we'll start a new fiscal, ready to conquer our challenges, work further in creating a culture of cooperation and appreciation, and excel in the work we do. And now we'll go to Michael.
Great. Thank you very much, Lama. Michael, you're going to talk a little bit too? Great. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Michael Yoshida, Chief Engineer, KPFA.
Hang on a second, Michael.
As has been pointed out to you folks today, coverage of FM is slowly going down. Reasons for that include the fact that the FCC is licensing FM stations in communities wherever they can, and so as a result, areas that used to be able to pick up our signal fairly clearly are now being blitzed out by Star 94 or stations like Fox Sports and other stations. So to try to combat some of that, KPFA, as of the beginning of 2006, has had a booster that we have licensed and put into operation down in the Bonny Doon area that restores KPFA coverage back to the Santa Cruz area, as well as parts of Big Sur and Carmel Valley. So that's an improvement. And we are also working on another project, hopefully to be up by the middle of October for testing, and that is another booster station on Mount Diablo, which for those of you out of town, you can see right out right outside. It will be on the left of the two peaks. That will give us coverage into the Stockton area and to a population that's moving out of the urban areas to suburbia. So there's literally tens of thousands of houses going up there. And hopefully we'll be able to get the KPFA signal into those areas that have really never been able to receive us. On the KU front, that technology is, as has been pointed out, is aging technology. Our current transceiver, which is the uplink that feeds all the affiliates at the moment is now about 30,000 hours past its probable failure time. So new receivers are not really being built of the type of quality that we have hoped for. So I think it's very important for this board to examine alternative technologies to replace the KU band system, which has been in operation now for Pacifica close to 10 years and is really past its lifetime. As of in 2006, KPFA has replaced its on-air phones with ISDN telephones, and that gave us the ability to clean up phone interviews that are done on the air. It seems to be that we're relying more and more of our coverage on the capability to put phone callers on the air. KPFA is now looking into IP telephones as well. We're kind of experimenting with Skype and Vonage as possible technologies that may save us money as well as to maintain our standards of putting clean phone callers on the air. And a final technology that I have just been examining is switched packet technology. I don't want to get too technical, but basic phone service such as ISDN and plain old telephone service is probably going to be going away in the next few years. So in order to maintain our level of commitment to be able to do quality remotes, we are looking into devices that utilize this new technology. And hopefully we will be able to experiment with some of this in the upcoming year. And finally, NPR is converting from distributing audio over their satellite system to distributing data files. And as a result of that, for stations such as KPFA that didn't have any automation capability, they provided us with heavily discounted automation system made by ENCO Systems called DAD. And KPFA took the opportunity to supplement this, and we have installed three other workstations at a heavy discount thanks to NPR. And one of these workstations is now controlling the Pacifica KU band. So for as long as that technology lasts, and hopefully KPFA will be able to play back news feeds as well as public service announcements utilizing the system. And we are also looking towards automating the logs for station managers that have to worry about public files for the FCC. We have also put a portion of those records on our server electronically, and we're looking at ways to put this information up on the website so that it can be accessed by the public in general. So these are some of the things we hope to do this upcoming year and in the future.
Michael, we had to move the tech report till tomorrow. Is there any chance you're going to be present during that report? Because we're going to be talking about network technical infrastructure and planning, and I think given your expertise, it would be very valuable if you could be there for it.
I don't think I can make it, sorry.
In that case, before you go, if the board would indulge me, then I'd just like to ask a question about the HD conversion that's being considered. Brian got up and made a good point about not trying to do everything all at once. No. And I have a concern that this technology may or may not take off, and that there's a benefit being dangled of, you know, multiple channels and a little seed money right now that won't be there, and later the cost will go up. But if the technology doesn't take off and people aren't buying a lot of receivers, the engineering effort, all the effort to make it happen, the development effort to raise the money and the rest, could be effort that might be better spent with other technologies. And I wanted your estimation of the value of that technology, its viability, likelihood that it's going to succeed, and the engineering effort required to implement it and maintain it.
Well, my feeling about HD radio is that even though CPB is offering financial support to implement the system, if the stations had taken advantage of this 3 years ago, it might have made sense to get in then while the licensing fees were still pretty minimal. At this point, we're almost at the max for the initial licensing fee, which is $25,000. And despite the name HD radio, it's not really like TV. You're not going to get any substantial improvements in signal coverage. If you have a car radio...
May you not also actually get less signal coverage with it?
In fact, with older receivers, you might get a lot of interference if you live out in the fringe areas. So, because that, the way it's being implemented, it's being put on the air as a sideband to the main carrier. So it will detract some of the power away from the main band. And so as a result, areas of KPFA coverage that was marginal will get worse.
But what about the engineering effort, the time of the engineering staffs to implement and maintain that system? The you know, how much are we talking about in terms of people's effort?
KPFA has put in funding to match the grant which was awarded to us by CPB. I'm a lot more excited about the peripherals that go along with HD radio, such as the digital STL system or the digital Optimon.
You need to explain that to people who don't know what that is.
Without getting too technical, we're living in a digital world, so a lot of the equipment that we have now is going to be next to impossible to maintain in 5 to 10 years. We're going to have to convert anyway. My feeling about this whole HD radio is that it was kind of forced on us because Ibiquity is a company that was formed out of Lucent and U.S. Digital, and there was a lot of money spent. The FCC...
Weren't Clear Channel and Infinity involved as well?
Yeah, they are heavy investors in this technology. And originally it was supposed to be a non-proprietary technology, but ever since Ibiquity got awarded, they have now been demanding licensing fees. So... as a result, I think they're going to be forced to release the code, the underlying code, and once that happens, it might open up this whole radio, HD radio, digital radio, for competition, and we might get some better technologies out there. So my feeling is I'm not real excited about HD radio, and I think if we were going to do it, we should have done it 3 years ago. So,
thank you. Will you at least be able to stick around till after the dinner in case some of the questions are directed your direction?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. We'll even feed you.
I hope it's okay. I actually invited Michael to dinner.
So everybody, 7:45, back in your seat, ready to rock and roll.